This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. There's change going on in the air, and I've asked a friend of mine who's a prophet, Vaughn Clark, to explain to us what God is in process of doing to the church right now. Vaughn?
Let me read Hosea 6, 11 and 7, 1. It says, also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people. I believe that the bridegroom is saying, come. You know, Esther had a year of preparation before she went into the king. And I'm not saying that the Lord is about to return, but what I'm saying is that this is a year where all the heart blockages are being removed so that our heart can beat for the Lord. God's got a harvest. We've got to be in love with him. We can't do what we're about to do just because we're supposed to do it. We have got to be in love with Jesus. And it says here in Hosea 7:1, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria. Now, what God spoke to me at the beginning of this year was that he was going to expose what needed to change in us.
It's better to expose it before it's exposed to the world, or before we die and it's exposed on Judgment Day.
Or we live in misery.
For sure.
You know, it's not just sin, but bondage, things that need to change. So many of us have embraced bondage as our personality, and we've said, this is who I am.
Give me an example.
Well, like someone that's melancholy all the time, or someone that has a bad temper, you know, or someone that is, you know, someone that is fearful, and they think that's their personality. But that's not the way God created them at all. But what's happened is that they have accommodated bondage in their lives. Somebody not being relational, not being able to make friends, and then retreating into a cave, you know, a world of isolation, and believing that that's the will of God. That's just the way I am. That's not the way God created any of us to be.
Oh, as I said last week to my guests, psychology puts people into categories.
Yes.
The only problem is the categories they're put in are not necessarily the way God created
them. No. You know, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life abundantly. Well, you know, me identifying myself as a miserable, broken, unhappy, sad person is not the abundant life. And for so much of my life, I covered up. In many ways, and I did.
Did you know you were covering up, or were you deceiving even yourself?
Well, some things I knew I was covering up because I knew they were there. Other things I didn't even know were there. But instead of me, and I honestly think that with maturity, instead of me being a phony, is that I literally was walking in faith and using the word to put down what I knew was wrong in me. You know, and I also bless God for the relationships I have, because I have some very close ministerial relationships.
All right, so in other words, you were able to control, but you weren't a free man.
I was under grace or mercy, whatever, but I know that there was a covering. You know,
and yet you walk in a strong anointing.
Right.
You can prophesy almost at will if you want to. But you said today, though, that you're free and I am
freer than I've ever been. And it was almost like a cancer in me, Sid, because I would get to places that I honestly didn't want to talk to God. I didn't want to have anything to do with God, even though I was flowing in an anointing, because I had no there was something in me that I couldn't touch, and I didn't know what it was. And I would get so frustrated. But I am so grateful. You know, and what I want to say to people is that it doesn't have to be this grim determination, but that God wants to change you more than you want to change. And if God opens up something in your life that needs to change, whether it's a bondage or a broken heart or a sin, that it is not punishment. It is His favor upon you. And He literally is saying, child, I'm ready to take you up higher. It's time to come deeper than you've ever been. I'm right here with you. In fact, the only reason I can reveal this to you is that you've grown up enough that we can deal with it now. And you don't have to be discouraged. This is my grace working in you. You just get close to me and you love me and you walk with me and everything's going to be all right.
And what the Lord told you is this is His year for this grace.
Yes. Listen. There is a harvest, just like He says here in Hosea 6:11, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people. We are being equipped right now, this whole thing of exposure and confrontation by the Holy Spirit. It's not the devil. The devil doesn't want us to change. He wants us to stay in our complacency and our contentment and our dead religion and our doing nothing and our busy, busy, busy little lives. And never being transformed. But there is an obsession with self in the American church, and we've been all wrapped up in trying to use the ways of God to create a perfect world for ourselves and not do what we're appointed to do. And God is shaking us loose.
The world says, if it feels good, it's okay.
Right, and we try to avoid any kind of uncomfortable change. We try to avoid pain. But sometimes, and this shaking right now is the Holy Ghost shaking.
Do what's good for me, the world tells
right.
you. What about for God, who knows what's good for you?
That's right. And see what's happening, that with God doing this exposure, because He's about to, He wants to glorify us. He wants to give us wisdom, and He wants to glorify us just like He glorified Jesus. He wants to glorify the church so that we will shine like lights in the darkness. But we've got to be prepared to bear His glory. And over in Malachi 3:1, you know, we read yesterday, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Well, the messenger is the Holy Spirit, and he is trying to get us ready. And he says, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And in verse 2, it says, but who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? I'm telling you, our church services are going to change. We're coming into a period of time that if you die at church, when they do an autopsy on you, they need to find carpet fibers up your nose where you've been sucking carpet in the presence of God. And it says he will sit. Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. That's 7,000 degrees to refine gold. I don't know if you understand this about gold, but it goes through several processes. And when that happens, the impure elements in the gold, the hotter the fire gets and the purer the gold gets, these things reach out to try to grab onto things so they don't have to be burned up. And the very last process is the most difficult because the gold turns brown before it turns gold. And you think about what John the Baptist said. He said, I baptize in water, but there comes one after me whose shoestring I'm not worthy to tie. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire, and he brings his grain into his barn, and he separates the chaff from the grain, and he thoroughly burns the chaff up. We're in that right now.
Well, when the Holy Spirit feels we're mature enough to have this exposed,
yes.
Then what do we do? What's the next step?
Well, our natural man wants to run from it. But we need to embrace what's taking place as the love of God. And if we can understand that it's the love of God that draws us to repentance, then we will know that whenever there's something in me that I don't want to deal with, that is the love of God bringing that up in my life so that He can perfect me and make me like Him. And it is a no-fail procedure. I may not like it. I may feel like my guts are being pulled out. It may be uncomfortable. I may have to face things about myself that I would rather live and die without ever knowing and just going about my business and saying, well, when I'm in heaven, it'll be all right. But if we will embrace the love of God, it will bring us to repentance and healing, and we will be so grateful that He loved us enough to show it to us.
I believe, Vaughn, that as you've said, you're in this process right now. You haven't arrived, but you're in this process. And I believe that through this broadcast, through the spoken word, and through a prayer that you'll give either tomorrow or the next day, there will be a release of the anointing that's been activated in your life already. On tomorrow's broadcast, I want you to do that. But how can, between today and tomorrow, how can we prepare? What's your recommendation?
Well, I would suggest to people that maybe they skip a meal or part of a meal, or they take the phone off the hook and turn the television off and get by themselves and say, God, all I want is you. And I want you to create a heart in me that will love you. And anything that's in the way, I'm your possession, and I want you to come and take what's yours. I'm your responsibility, God. I don't want to be miserable. I'm willing. If you want to do surgery on me, I'm willing. I don't want to walk under condemnation. I don't want the accuser of the brethren to work on me. But I want to be set free and to love you. I want to have a heart that is hot for you.
That's what everyone wants. You may not feel it, but you know that that's what you want. The first step is to go on what you know, not what you feel. That's what he's saying to you. In Romans, the 11th chapter, the 25th verse, we read, lest ye be wise in your own conceits. I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Recently, I found out this fullness of the Gentiles. In the Greek, the word fullness could be translated maturity. When the Gentile church gets mature and starts moving in the Spirit, and one of the blockages to maturity is these things from the past that keep coming back to haunt us, but there is an anointing coming. God's not going to leave us the way we are. God's not going to leave us in the wilderness. If we have a desire to be the Joshuas and Calebs and go into the promised land, this is God's time. So I want you to take what Ron said seriously. Miss a meal, take that time, and seek God. Whether anything happens or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are willing your heart to seek the living God, that you want nothing more than God. And if there's things in you that want more than God, then God, take it away. And as you seek God with all of your heart, I believe you'll find Him. Now, our ministry is to equip you with the maturity so that the Jewish people can be saved, so the middle wall of separation comes down between Jew and Christian, and we can be one, so the world can believe. This week, we're asking you to give a special offering. It's time for us to expand with this message.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Ishbucha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. So
Fed in Zion.